Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the gift of Holy Scriptures. You have told us that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, convicting of our sins, and teaching us to live a righteous life. So help us, O God, as we open up your word, that we may learn truth from your word, and that we may be convicted of our sins and reform our lives, and also that we may be trained to live a righteous and a life that's well pleasing to you. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this morning we are going to look at 2 Chronicles, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Now, if I may ask you, which book in the Bible you are most unfamiliar with, I don't know what will be your answer. I hope you do try to read through the Bible. But comes Chronicles, it may be a great test, because as you may remember, as you try to read Chronicles, as you open up 1 Chronicles, you got a long list of names for many hundreds of years, and you try to read those chapters after chapter, and you say, when will this end? Well, persevere. As you read on, you will discover wonderful things for your souls. Now this morning, we're going to consider King Asa. A-S-A. I don't know whether you've heard of King Asa before or not. He was not one of the most famous kings in Israel or Judah, but he was a godly king. So this morning, we're going to consider his life from 2 Chronicles chapters 14, 15, and 16. We're going to see a king in God's kingdom who began very well, but did not finish so well. And we are going to learn three lessons from his life. First, about seeking God. Secondly, about listening to God's word, a warning. And thirdly, about persevering in our faith and obedience. So let us turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa had an easy start as king. There was rest, there was peace, for about 10 years. It was no fun to be king in the ancient world, because it was literally life or death. Anytime you may be engaged in war, the people that run you might not be loyal to you. They may endeavor to take your place. They may plot to kill you. But Asa had a good start. An easy start. Let us look at verse 2. Asa did what was right and good in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places, and broke down the circuit pillars and cut down the wooden images. King Asa had ungodly ancestors. By his time, in God's kingdom, in Judah, there were altars dedicated to foreign gods, plural. The people of Judah were involved in idolatry, and they have different images and pillars dedicated to these foreign idols. And Asa, as a young king, he was a reformer. He dared to take down this foreign worship, this idolatry. Now you understand it takes great courage to do that. And by the way, Asa will be the first reformer in biblical history. Now, we heard of the reformers, the Protestant reformers, in the 16th century, starting with Martin Luther, Zwingli at the same time, Calvin, and many others. They were called reformers because they dared to reform the church from hundreds of years of wrong teachings, idolatries, and so on. And we greatly honor the 16th century reformers. We revere them for their faith and faithfulness and courage. But Asa actually was the first reformer in all biblical history. He reformed the church. And he was a strong leader. Look at verse 4. 2 Chronicles 14. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. He urges people, my dear people, seek the Lord. Seek him first. And obey the word of the Lord. We must listen to the Lord our God. And he continued to his reform effort to reform the people of God, to reform the church. He was also a wise leader. Look at verse 6. And he built fortified cities in Judah for the land of rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. He fortified the cities. He strengthened the national defense. Perhaps I should remind you the political situation in those days. It was Asa's grandfather, Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, who foolishly upset the 10 tribes in northern Israel. Asked Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, please lower the tax rate. Your father Solomon, God will all his grand project, he taxes severely, and there was a tremendous burden on us. Be kind to us. And Rehoboam foolishly refused their request. And he said to them, I'm going to tax you even more than my father. And 10 tribes left the house of David. From then on, there was war between the northern kingdom, Israel, which got 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom, which only got the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. So Judah was much smaller and weaker, and there was war between them. And Asa wisely strengthened the national defense. He was ready for any attack, but God bless him that there was no attack from the north in those days. But then, after those years of peace, came a great test of faith. Look at that in verse 9. And Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. and he came to Mary's side. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zarephath at Mary's side. Here came the Africans, the Ethiopians from south of Egypt, and they came together from a faraway country. We are told here with 1 million men. Now you must understand, in the ancient world, all men, maybe 16 years above, they would be soldiers. At any time, they would be commanded to defend their country. Now you understand, for example, in Israel nowadays, not only all men, but all women above a certain age have to do military service. And for more than a year now, the reservists were called up to defend the country, but also engage in foreign wars as well. Now, in those days, it was much worse. The men above a certain age would be required to do military service at any time. And when you went out to war against another country, all your men went out. It was either you or me. What should Asa do? He was utterly outnumbered. And this time was not from the north, from the fellow Israelites, but from the south, from a faraway country. And undoubtedly, these Ethiopians came to destroy Judah. And they annexed Judah to plunder their homes, to capture the women and children. And he was, as we notice, utterly outnumbered. What did he do? What would you do? Suppose you were in such a situation, what would you do? Verse 11. Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. What did Asa do? He prayed. He prayed a prayer of faith. He cried to God in his trouble. And he said, with confidence, with faith in the Lord, there's nothing for you to help. You can deliver us. It doesn't matter whether our enemies are many or few. You are able to deliver us. And he cried out to God, help us, we rest on you. And in your name, we go against this great multitude. O Lord, do not let man prevail against you. It's your battle, Lord. It was a believing prayer, a magnificent prayer. And friends, would you be praying like that? Do you believe in the reality and the power of prayer? Do you believe God can deliver, even in the most impossible situation? How could Asa face those huge multitude? It was utterly impossible. But he believed it's possible with God. He can deliver. And he understands this is the lost battle. We are your people, Lord. My dear friends, we are surrounded. If we got our senses on, by huge enemies that we have no power to act against. The ungodly forces, the anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ forces are everywhere. They're in control of the government, the academia, the media, the entertainment ministry, the entertainment industry, music industry, schools, thought, and so on. We are totally powerless. We cannot change the culture. What should we do? Asa's prayer was a magnificent prayer. It was Augustine who said, "The supreme task of all believers in Christ, their whole task during this mortal life, is to call upon God." Augustine really makes the Christian life simple, isn't it? He says the whole task of the whole church during this earthly life, this mortal life, is to call upon God. To call upon God is not something very difficult to do. We just bow our knees before the Lord. We come together for prayer. We cry to God for His mercy. It's easy to do. But to do that, you and I must believe that God is good and God is powerful and the Lord God is willing to answer our prayer. Just now we mentioned about the 16th century reformers. One of them was John Knox. He was in Europe. His life was secure, but he chose to return to Scotland to do the work of Reformation. And he cried to God time and again, "Give me Scotland or I die." Scotland in those days was overrun by idolatry. People were not educated. And John Knox dared to ask God, "I would like Scotland to become like Geneva." But Geneva was only a city. Scotland was a country. It was controlled by false religion. Would that be possible? And Knox dared to pray. And he dared to preach even against the Queen in those days. Well, let's come back to Asa. He cried to God. What happened? In verse 12. "So the Lord swept the Ethiopians before Asa, before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." The Lord heard the prayer. It was a complete victory. Notice, it was from the Lord. The Lord swept the Ethiopians and they actually took spoil of the camels and the cattle which came to them. So it was a complete victory. It was a mighty victory, but from the Lord. Now, in chapter 15, you may turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We are told in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.'" Oh, friends, this is a Bible verse you may like to memorize. We are told the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came upon this man, Azariah, and he came to speak to Asa. Listen, you and all your people, the Lord is with you while you are with him. That still applies to us, my dear friends. The Lord is with us, you will be with him. Are you with him this morning? Are you with the Lord every day? And it goes on. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. What a promise. If we seek God, he'll be found by us. We are to desire God. We are to say to God, I want to know you more. I want to know you as a living, bright reality. That was, some of you may remember, I mentioned this, Hudson Taylor's daily prayer. That great man of God, the founder of China Intermission, he cried to God every day, Lord, let you be a living reality to me. Not just as a concept, but I want you to show me that you are the living God. That you are for real. I want to have that. I want you to be a bright living reality to me. And God's promise is that if we seek him, he'll be found by us. But here comes a warning. What is that? But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Oh friends, we must listen. We may experience much of the Lord. We may know his deliverance in the past. But the word of God is this, if we forsake him, he will forsake us. It does not matter how long we have been believers, how much we know the Lord, but any time if we should forsake God, he will forsake us. It applies to King Asa even, to this great man of faith. And we are told in verse 8, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. There's a saying in the Reformation. The church reformed is reforming. We never arrive in this world. The church that is endeavoring to be faithful to God will keep on changing, conforming to God's word, reforming his ways and practices so as to be more conformed to the standard of God's word. And this is what Asa did. He further removed those terrible idols and he restored the pure worship of God. Apparently, the worship of God, the pure worship of God, was neglected by the time of Asa. And then in the 15th year, we are told in verse 12, the second Chronicles chapter 15. Then they entered the covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Asa is king of a theocracy that is a form of government that God is king, not democracy, not monarchy, but theocracy. He had a responsibility to lead the people to worship God, and he called the people to enter the covenant with God. What is a covenant? It is an agreement, a commitment to follow God, just like we have the Lord's Supper. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a covenant feast. As we partake of the bread and the juice, we are saying we are God's people. Will we commit ourselves to the Lord? And will we remember Christ's commitment to us to continue to be our Lord and Savior to the very end, to all eternity? So this is what Asa did. He gathered the people together. They have a great feast, and they promise to seek the Lord God with all their hearts and with all their soul. And Asa's king said, if anyone would not do that, if any one of you say, whether you are a man or woman, whether you are a child or an adult, if you would not seek the Lord God of Israel, you should be put to death. Did he do the right thing? Was he cruel? He did the right thing. He was right. He was king in God's kingdom. It was given to him. That responsibility to lead his people to worship God. If anyone would not worship the God of Israel in ancient Israel, well, they should be put to death. I guess no one would say, I'm not going to seek the Lord God. Everyone will pay at least lip service to that. And that is exactly what happened in the days of Reformation. Take, for example, this city-state like Geneva or Schwabert. They actually had something like democracy. In those days, all of them would be inside the Roman Catholic Church. But here came these preachers, evangelists, that would preach the gospel of God's grace, of justification by faith in Christ alone. And the people actually have a vote. They say, well, let's have a debate. Get your reformer, get a Roman Catholic theologian, bishop, cardinal, whoever, have a debate. And the people voted whether we should continue Roman Catholic or whether we should become reformed. And once the vote was cast, let's say the city became reformed, the whole city was reformed. And you stay in the city, you have to follow the reformed religion, you can't set up your idols anywhere. That was how it worked in those days, just as in Scotland. When the Reformation came to Scotland, they changed the religion from Roman Catholicism to the Reformed faith, and the whole country became Reformed. And just last week, we had the General Assembly of our New South Wales Church, and in those days, in the Church of Scotland, the General Assembly of the Church got supreme authority over the Church, and they would actually advise the government as well, and the government would better listen. It's not that the church lorded over the government, but the church had its power to advise the government. And in verse 16, it is something even more courageous. He also removed Maaha, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. Now Asa not only removed the idol, altars, and so on. But he took the most difficult task into his hand. There was a queen mother, actually it was his grandmother, and in Hebrew it's interesting, that word being queen mother is literally the big lady, the big woman. The queen mother was the most powerful political force in the country. But she had actually set up, what is said here, obscene image of an idol called Asherah. Now, I don't want to go into all the details, but in the ancient Near East, idol worship was often associated with prostitution. And the idols themselves quite often would be rather explicit, obscene statues. That may shock you, but it was a fact. It was gross. But this is part of the fertility cult. The ideas behind this is that people want the land to be fertile, to be producing a lot of fruit and crops, and they thought the more explicit sex we have in worship, the more we can stimulate the ground. You follow the logic? And it was there in ancient Near East. It was actually quite widespread in the ancient world. A religion and prostitution would go hand in hand. And it was explicit, outrageous, the very heart of their worship. Imagine Judah got that. In God's kingdom, the queen mother, the big lady, got this obscene image. And the grandson, Asa, there, what did he do? Cut it down. Burn it up. Crush it. It was a mighty reformation. So friends, Asa was a king who began very well. Faithful to the Lord, courageous, the first reformer in the Bible, an example for all subsequent reformation in the church. But we move on to chapter 16. Asa did not finish so well. Chapter 16, verse 1. What happened? In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out and come in to Asa, king of Judah. Asa got 20 years of peace. After that horrendous attack by the Ethiopians, he carried on the work of reformation. There was no war in those days. But when he got much older, the northern kingdom Israel came, and this time they did an economic blockade. The northern kingdom, under the king Baasha, built Ramah, were near to Jerusalem, and blockade and block the road to the north and to anywhere else. And that was a test to Asa then. My dear friends, we have tests of faith and faithfulness in different stages in our life. When we are young, we'll be tempted in some areas, maybe supremely in pride, in fleshly lust, in money perhaps. But friends, when we get older, we have other tests of life. Let me say this. As a general rule, the older we become, the more severe will our test be. This is just by sheer observation, isn't it? The older we get, the more evil we got to see. The older we become, the more troubles we have to face, the more sorrow we experience. Does this frighten us? It's simply true, isn't it? Just now we mentioned Augustine. When he was dying, the Babylonians were coming to attack his own city of Hippo. And his bishop of Hippo, he was dying, he was weak, he knew the enemies were coming to take his city. And he felt a burden of that. Okay, coming back to Israel. What did he do with this economic blockade from the north? Did he pray? Did he ask God for deliverance? Look at verse 2. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I've sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. How did Asa respond to this situation? He didn't pray. He didn't ask God for deliverance. He said to himself, "I know how to handle this. Simple. Diplomacy. Bribery. Israel is north of me, and north of Israel is what? Syria. Damascus." Friends, have you heard of Syria lately? Damascus? The same place? I know what I can do. I can buy my protection. I'll get the treasury in my own house, even in the temple, because I don't have enough money. I'll get the temple treasury, and I will bribe this foreign king Syria, ask him to attack Israel. And Israel will withdraw from me. And it worked perfectly well. Syrian attack northern Israel. You heard of Galilee? Heard of Galilee before? The Sea of Galilee? Golan Heights? It's in that area. The king of Syria came and attacked northern Israel, the Galilean region. So he got no time to blockade Judah. And Judah was set free. It worked perfectly well. Without prayer. This time, King Asa was so confident of himself. "I know how to handle this. It wasn't too difficult. Isn't too difficult. I can climb my way out." They did that. There was no prayer because he was confident of himself. And it worked well. were successful. He got what he wanted. Then came a prophet to him. And the prophet is Hanani in verse 7. He came to rebuild the king Asa. Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. And then it goes on in verse 8. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubbins not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen? Yes, yet because you rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. His prophet came to Asa. He rebuked him. You relied on the king of Syria. You do not rely on the Lord your God. Don't you remember some 20 years ago with the Ethiopians? They came against you with a huge army, and you cried to the Lord and he delivered you. Oh, don't you know that the Lord is everywhere? And he can deliver you without your using any money at all, without your bribery? You have acted foolishly. And here came the text. Asa only made a mistake, he sinned against the Lord. He depended on his own wisdom instead of trusting the Lord. And now he was rebuked by the Lord. What did he do? Did he break down in tears and cry to the Lord for forgiveness like King David, his forefather, did? What did he do? In verse 10. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. This time, Asa did not respond in faith and repentance. When he was rebuked, he got angry. He put his prophet in prison. The reformer became an oppressor. And he even persecuted some of his own people, no doubt, godly people. He hardened his heart. He did not receive rebuke. And then finally, what happened? Verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. When he got even older, near the end of his life, he got sick. And here we are told, in his illness, he did not seek the Lord. He only trusted the physician. The Bible is not against us consulting doctors, having medical treatment, not at all. But we have to use them in dependence on the Lord and ask God to bless the treatment. But not for Asa. Even his illness, his last illness, he did not seek the Lord. He only sought human help. Asa began very well. He ended not too well. Asa's life and testimony was spoiled by his later life. If I may put it like this to you, you'll be like a cup of good coffee spoiled by a dead fly. Just imagine, you go to a cafe, have a cup of very nice coffee with a friend, but as you drink the coffee, you notice, oh, there's a dead fly, what would you do? I wonder what would you do? Take out the dead fly, finish up the coffee. What would you do? Well, you tell me. That was Asa's life. And before we finish, we'd just like to mention three lessons we can learn. In these three chapters, there's one word that occurs quite a number of times. That is the word seek. We have to seek the Lord our God. Seek Christ, who is the pearl of great price. Seek the Lord. The second lesson, you and I must have a tender heart. That we must be willing to listen to the Lord, especially words of rebuke and warning. We all love promises of God's grace and mercy and comfort. But do we believe those words of promise? And how about when we listen to the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we come across words of warning, are we going to listen? The third lesson. We must keep on listening to God's Word. Asa, a godly king, a man of faith, he did listen when he was young. He got tremendous faith when he was young. But when he got older, he became a stubborn old man against the Lord. We don't want to become stubborn old men or stubborn old women or even younger, stubborn people. We want to be tender-hearted toward the Lord. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, work in us, save us, that we may seek you. Help us to listen to you, to be always ready to listen to your word. For Jesus' sake.